hate it when science gets politicized. Science should be based on facts and repeatable experiments. It should be independent of a person's political views or the agenda of any group. Water, wind, and other areas should be studied and policies made that reflect scientific facts, not political persuasions. In part two of this interview with environmental lawyer Lou McMahon, Lou talks about the green movement and sustainability. He explains how our water policy should be a matter of national security for all points of the political spectrum. And he talks about an opportunity for us to rock out with another Hall of Fame.
Coming to you from the world-renowned Magnum Building on beautiful Payne Avenue in the heart of Cleveland, Ohio, it's the entrepreneur himself, Dan Hansen, bringing you the Great Lakes Geek Show.
In a broad perspective here, we all know that cities are built around geography and resources. Cleveland was built because of the lake and river. Saudi Arabia is what it is because of oil. But the OPEC nations seem to be doing a better job in capitalizing on their natural resource than we are with ours. And water proved to be more precious and scarcer than oil. What can and should an area like Cleveland, a region like ours, be doing to capitalize on this great resource we have?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. I might challenge the premise that the OPEC nations are capitalizing more on their resources. I think the history of Cleveland in particular, but the Great Lakes region and our water resources shows that you can leverage the water resources that we had for shipping and for industry and others to build a much broader-based economy. I don't know if that's true in certain OPEC nations necessarily. What we need to do is take that spirit of innovation that we created Cleveland, where we had people built the canal here, it became a commercial center, and recognized right away that the lakes are great for bringing coal and iron ore together to make steel, and the shipping possibilities that were here, and built a great city out of it that spawned all sorts of innovation and human endeavor. We have that opportunity and requirement today to reuse the Great Lakes in a way that's beneficial. We need to reinvent ourselves. And one of the ways that very actively is going on in Northeast Ohio is the Great Lakes Energy Development Task Force, promoted by and instituted by Cuyahoga County. I'm a member of that. Cuyahoga County Prosecutor Bill Mason is a task force chair, looking at harnessing the wind power that's on Lake Erie as a way to make a focal point for the industry of wind turbines, particularly offshore wind, developing in Cleveland. The Great Lakes offers a huge opportunity of harnessing wind energy in an area, it's not in anybody's backyard for the most part, so you don't have the infamous NIMBY problem. The best wind on Lake Erie, which is considerable and commercial grade, is beyond the horizon from anywhere you can see it. It's an opportunity to develop into the new economy of, if you will, green, that everybody wants so much, green-collar jobs, using our existing platform of making things, which we do so very well here, oriented toward of expanding new market. And that's the kind of thing that we need to do. We need ideas like that, and how to utilize this resource, how to clean it so that it's available as a water resource for populations in the future, and how to leverage it into a new economy. It's a constant reinvention.
Sounds like T. Boone Pickens, the famous oil man, is espousing wind power now. Some critics are saying it's just they're doing as much damage to the environment by killing birds and species who get hit by the turbines as creating power.
Well, that's a flashpoint. I mentioned the NIMBY, and not in my backyard, and critics say that, and that's been a very serious part of some of the more high-profile projects that have generated considerable opposition. Like anything, people find a way to stop it, and there's some legitimate concern in that regard. What we don't have very much is science of protocols or ways to answer the questions of counting number of birds, etc., particularly in the offshore context. In our project that we're proposing for Cuyahoga County, we would be the first in the world in fresh water. It would be a research project to help identify some of those questions. And the county has taken a leadership role with Case Western Reserve and their Great Lakes Energy Institute to help define these things so that commercial development can come in behind that. So like anything, any new innovation, there are some questions. The question is, how do you rationally address them, test them, and account for them in developing a new industry? Now, in the case of wind, you know, there's a renewable portfolio standards that have been passed in Ohio and elsewhere are driving the market for this. As T. Boone Pickens sees, we're going to need to do something. There's lots of innovation and lots of unanswered questions about how you use wind. You can't use it as a base load because power would only go on when the wind blows, and that's not all the time. So we're not going to get rid of our other sources of energy entirely. It's how do you complement it in a way that's beneficial to our economy and to reduce emissions and other environmental issues.
And going along with what you said about having to be innovative and taking advantage of our resources here and all, Northeast Ohio is home to many Hall of Fames, the Rock Hall, the Inventors Hall of Fame, of course, the Canton Pro Football Hall of Fame. You had a pretty innovative idea. Tell us about that.
Yeah, a couple years ago, seeing that Ohio is the Hall of Fame of Halls of Fame, and that's our economic development model, or one of them, I had proposed to a few people, first in jest and then with more seriousness, a concept of having a Clean Water Hall of Fame. To the extent that we have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland on the basis of the 1950s DJ's statement and Elvis concert, we lay claim to the Clean Water Act and part of the whole environmental revival through the Cuyahoga River fire as this is very much a birthplace of the Clean Water Act. And Cleveland and Northeast Ohio has invested tremendously, billions of dollars in cleaning things up and in improving its system. We've got a long way to go, and isn't that the perfect poster child, if you will, of how to take a new approach to our water resources? We're in midstream, if you will, of the process of cleaning things up. So why not celebrate that here in Cleveland with, you know, every August we could have inductions into the Hall of Fame of people who have promoted or had innovations for clean water around the world. Significant issue that it is for the majority of the world's population. And then we'd show off Cleveland with a nice blue lake in the background of fresh water that shows off the very best that we have to offer. I'm not a museum person, so it's not, I wouldn't say it's easy, but it would be a branding of Cleveland in a different way than we've been able to do before.
I think that's a great idea. Any listeners, please contact us if you want to be involved with this. I think rule one would have to be that the induction ceremonies would not be held in New York, though.
Yeah, that's right. We'd have to have them here in Cleveland showing off our lake.
Yeah. Now, Lou, a final question here. You know, I've never chained myself to a tree, but I consider myself like you. I like nature. I want to preserve it, conserve it, all that. It makes sense. I'm not radical about it at this point. But it seems like politics has got involved in the whole green movement so much. If you're left of the political spectrum, you're supposed to be pro-green. If you're to the right of the spectrum, you're less that way. This water issue seems, outside of the, you know, not in my backyard issues and all, it seems to be so clear-cut to preserve and to use the resources and all. Is there another side to the story that well-thought-out scientific opposition to any of these programs, or is it just basically a political type thing?
Well, question's complicated, but let me put it this way. It's an evolving thing, and you hear a lot about sustainability today. I think I sort of capsulize this in a way that's appealing to left and right, if you want to put it in political terms, and hopefully it would be appealing to both. If you are a proponent of climate change, of the usual posited effects of what's going to happen in the next few years as far as climate change, man-made or otherwise, if you know the stuff that was in Al Gore's movie, if you believe that we're going to have more hurricanes in the southeast, if we're going to have a more arid west, if we're going to have ocean levels rise so that the coasts are endangered by both storms and have to rebuild infrastructure, then as a matter of U.S. national security, we need to be investing in the Great Lakes in particular and in our water resources, most in the Midwest more generally, in order to clean them and make them ready for sustainable use. And the key is on the use. We need to clean up these so that 200 million people can live along the lakes instead of 100 million. Because if those things that people, climate change people say, are, come to pass, you know, where are the refugees from certain places going to move? This is the portion of the country, frankly, one of the only portions of the world, if under some projections, where you'll have enough water, the transportation on the lakes, the ability to grow food as necessary in a sustainable manner. And the thing that's holding that back is, as I mentioned, we're not cleaning them up fast. We're not putting in the infrastructure that would allow 200 million people to use the lake sustainably. We are strapping central cities, who are economically challenged to begin with the task of doing something that should be a national urgency. So I think that's on both sides of the political spectrum, if you will. If climate change is there or a question of national security, the Great Lakes is the place where our future as a country is should be focused on, and we need to get ready for that. Instead of, not to denigrate or discount the Gulf Coast, but we shouldn't be spending federal dollars, billions of federal dollars, to rebuild cities that are under sea level if they're not sustainable. I'm not saying anything that's happened so far is not sustainable or shouldn't have been done. Just as a matter of priorities, we need to get ready here and clean up here so that people can live here in the next 100 years.
Well, listeners, I think you've got a good taste of why Lou McMahon is the well-noted expert that he is. If you look at his bio, he's the chair of the Environmental Law Committee, the Ohio State Bar Association. He's in the American Water Works Association, the Water Environment Federation, the Water Management Association of Ohio. A lot of organizations like that that most of us have never even heard of. But it's a good thing that people like Lou are out there diving into this subject, because as we've just heard, it is so important to not only the region here, but our country and our national security. So we want to thank you, Lou, for being our guest today, and keep up the good work.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
You've been listening to the Great Lakes Geek Show. Come back soon at www.greatlakesgeek.com.